I woke up that morning to Jen, my mentor, making announcements on the radio.
Welcome to Greenville. Today, rats are down 23% to a total of 157 rats. Lock your doors and stay safe.
It was a normal day, and we set out to do our daily routine. First, we went out to strengthen the wall, and we saw some of it was shifted. It looked as though someone had slammed something into it, and there was a hole where the doorknob used to be. I went out to repair the wall and door while Jen kept an eye out for the beasts. But thankfully, the coast was clear. After this strange incident, we continued with our chores, taking breaks to man the radio. And after we finished, Jen had the idea to go check on our neighbors to see if their wall was also damaged. We stocked up on supplies and started our trek out. We took immense caution to avoid loud noises and stuck to wide roads so we could see all around us. But strangely, we didn't see any signs of beasts. No downed trees or animal carcasses. We continued down the road, taking time to listen to the telltale rustle of clumsy beasts stumbling through the foliage. Soon our little hike was over and we reached the McCollins house. Immediately we saw their wall was in shambles and the door to their house was left wide open. Jen timidly ran outside and cried out,
"Hello?"
The silence that followed was deafening. Jen quickly ran into the house only to find Henry and Megan McCollin dead, clutching each other even in death. Jen had the foresight to call out for their sons, Jake and Ralph. She searched around noisily, finally searching the lock room. The steel door was a crumpled and twisted mess, the small ventilation holes sealed shut, and it took all of our strength to pry it open. Immediately, a gust of foul air assaulted our senses as Jen poked her head into the cramped space, barely big enough to fit four people. And she found Jake, who had met his unfortunate demise after the ventilation holes were sealed shut by one of the beasts. She slowly retreated out, giving a slow shake of her head. She decided in a last-ditch effort to go check the second floor. We took our time climbing the mangled staircase and soon found a hole in their chimney. And against my constant pleads just to leave and go back to the safety of the radio station, she poked her head up and saw a small figure propped up on the flue and called to the horrible creature caught in the chimney. Unexpectedly, a sickly response echoed back. Jen peered into the dusty chimney to see Ralph perched atop the flue. Jen quickly helped him down, his spindly pale limbs hanging limply by his side as he was carried out of the house. Slowly, we made the trek back, making no attempt to question Ralph about the massacre. The trauma of the event hung around him like a ghost, stifling any attempt to make conversation. As we made our way into the radio station, we saw our walls in shambles and our door clawed and mangled. But still, the door was sealed shut. We cautiously walked in, ready for action, as we scanned around, looking for any sign of a beast. But we saw none. Once we were sure we were alone, we rushed Ralph into the kitchen. Jen took time to tend to his wounds and feed him. He was covered in small scratches and soot. I hastily went up to the station to check on everything and man the radio. A bit later, I heard the sound of our front door rattling. I watched in horror as the door slowly opened and the beast squeezed through the entrance, busying itself with Jen, as Ralph rushed up the stairs to the radio. The moment Ralph was inside, I hastily slammed the door shut. I slid the deadbolt with a clank of finality, and I pushed an unnecessary chair against the door to further blockade it. I hastily grabbed a journal and began to write.